Still, more people buying.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. It's the Morning Open. I'm Steve Chiotakis in for Bill Radke, who's back on Monday. The government said today retail sales were up in April over last year, and revised figures show prior months saw bigger gains than we thought as well. We're going to talk to an analyst about what that means coming up after we do the numbers. Where's Wall Street? The markets are down right now. The S&P off about 1.5%, the NASDAQ nearly 2%, and the Dow off now 129 points, 10,653. European shares are off as well, anywhere between 1% and, in the case of French shares, 4% for the CAC 40 in Paris. And Asian shares tumbled as well today, anywhere between 1% and 2%. Oil, by the way, is below $74 a barrel. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. He's with us live from the Big Apple this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Now, markets are off. The oil's lower today, yet we have this good news on the retail front. These are good numbers, Chris. Why the sour attitude?
Yeah, these are really good numbers. You know, spending cooled a little bit in April, but in the last 3 months, we've got retail sales growth at a 10% annual rate. Consumption is very strong.
So consumption is strong. I mean, along with these retail numbers, we got word that industrial production rose in April as well. A lot of that companies who bought all this machinery and equipment. What happens after all this equipment's bought?
Okay. You know, what's going on is you've had orders growth of more than 10% for equipment by companies who are investing in productivity and so on. Those orders are starting to stack up. And, well, the next step is that companies have to actually hire someone to build the stuff. We're starting to see that, too. We've seen it in the first 4 months of this year. Manufacturing hiring stronger than at any time in the last expansion. And that job growth is part of what's fueling the retail sales growth.
So why are we down 1.5%, 2% in markets today?
That's all about Greece. You know, the fear is that even after throwing a $1 trillion rescue package at the Greek crisis, the Europeans still haven't put a lid on the crisis. And here, the reason it's affecting us in the U.S. is sort of fear of fear, the idea that investors might be scared off and starve the economy of capital.
Can we have an economic recovery here, Chris, independent of what's going on in Europe, quickly?
Oh. Absolutely we can. You know, if you look back over time, other countries are very sensitive to what happens to U.S. GDP, but U.S. GDP usually is not sensitive to what happens overseas. We're still an economy that's driven domestically, and with consumption as strong as it is, we're in good shape.
Chris Lowe joining us from New York. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Today, Congress is getting in on the numbers game, looking into how much oil is actually leaking into the Gulf of Mexico from that failed BP rig. And new reports say it could be 10 times the number already reported. 5,000 barrels a day were spilling from the well. That's what we've heard. Yet in an interview with the British newspaper, the BP CEO Tony Hayward says the oil leak is relatively tiny. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us from London, where the British oil giant is headquartered. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Steve.
What did this CEO actually say?
Well, in a generally upbeat interview with the Guardian newspaper, Tony Hayward is quoted saying, "The Gulf of Mexico is a very big ocean. The amount of oil we're putting into it is relatively tiny." As you say, this comment seems particularly ill-judged given these new estimates suggesting it could be as much as 50,000 barrels a day that are spewing into the sea, not the original official 5,000. Nick McGregor is an oil company analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley. He says Hayward's comments won't endear him to many Americans and could further damage BP.
This is now getting to the stage where it's reflecting on BP's future. It's no longer an issue of how well they deal with this. It's an issue of how they're perceived by one of their largest markets, after all, in the USA.
I perceived. Well, besides perception, Stephen, this leak is obviously costing BP a lot of money. I mean, do we have any idea?
As of yesterday, the company has spent $450 million fighting the spill. It's now costing more than $30 million a day, five times the cost in the early days of the disaster.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Hello. listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, May 14th, 2010, at marketplace.org. The Senate's adopted some big changes in the way Wall Street rates the risk of financial products. As part of the regulatory overhaul, lawmakers would no longer allow banks to pick and choose what credit agencies can grade their investments. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Right now, banks decide what rating agency will grade the financial products they sell, and they pay for the rating. That led to rating agencies giving their best grades to assets that later turned out to be junk. The bill moving through the Senate would no longer allow banks and other financial institutions to pick their own agencies. The government would do that for them. That takes away the conflict of interest, but Barbara Matthews with BCM International Regulatory Analytics worries it'll give people the impression that
the government sanctions or approves of the ratings in one way or another. Putting the government in the middle of deciding who gets to rate which company is overkill.
Supporters of government certification say it'll open up an industry that's now dominated by three big players to more competition. Matthew says that's optimistic, since rating agencies are expensive to start up and have to hire lots of smart people to do their job well. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Used to be car buyers wanted to know how fast they could go. Now consumers are just as interested in connectivity. GM is reportedly in talks to merge Google's smartphone operating system with the automaker's OnStar network. Reporter Janet Babin has more.
U.S. automakers have shifted their marketing focus to technology features. Ford offers Sync. It lets drivers use voice-activated commands to control their phones and MP3 players. GM's OnStar links drivers to an outside network. If GM adds Google's Android operating interface, drivers could use their phones to start the engine or keep up with maintenance. Ray Wirt is editor-in-chief at Jalopnik.com. He says driving these days is not the joyride it used to be.
I think that over the past decade, we've seen the amount of time that we're spending in our vehicles increasing and increasing. And that's causing people to look for a home away from home.
One filled with gadgets to make all those drive time hours more bearable. Wirt says Toyota and Honda are trailing U.S. car makers on connectivity features. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Political unrest continues in Thailand. Protesters are angry over a deposed prime minister, among a whole host of other things. The business district in Bangkok is a virtual war zone, and that's affecting life and business all around the capital. Vaudine England is a correspondent with the BBC, and she joins us now from their Bangkok studio. Hi, Vaudine.
Hello.
Describe the situation going on right now.
In the very center of Bangkok, we have a protest camp that the red shirt, the anti-government protesters, have been holding as their own territory for almost 9 weeks now. And unfortunately, within this zone are also many businesses, many shopping malls, many foreign embassies, and of course, many condominiums where people are living. So it's a very difficult situation for people living inside the zone, and it's proving not to be very helpful for the economy.
Are banks and stores and other businesses, are they open there right now?
In this center of town, no, they're not.
And for people who are there, Vaudine, staying in hotels, tourists who are there, are they encouraged to leave?
They have certainly been encouraged to leave and, in fact, have had to leave because many of the major five-star hotels here have closed. Certainly tourism numbers have dropped a lot. Thai Airways is screaming in pain at the number of cancellations coming in. Friends who have come in on flights recently have said they've been coming in on virtually empty aeroplanes.
And what's this doing to the perception about Thailand and people who do business with Thailand?
The people who are still based here are a particular sort. They are aware of the possible risks to doing business here, but are either fully committed because they still find profitable reason to be here or because they're otherwise personally committed to the country.
Vaudine England is one of the correspondents with the BBC, and she's joined us from Bangkok. Vaudine, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
In just 20 years, the number of Americans 65 and older is expected to just about double. And the same is true for folks over in Europe. But as we age, we also want to keep fit. Reporter Christopher Wirth looks at how some seniors are staying in shape over in London.
When I catch up with Maddie Elsden, she's just wrapping up her daily workout.
This is tighten up the waist, get rid of all the flab.
Every morning, she takes a long walk in London's Hyde Park and then heads to a new playground built specifically for senior citizens. It's right next to the regular playground for kids. But instead of monkey bars, it has things like an elliptical machine and a stationary bike designed for people 65 and over.
Parks always have children's playgrounds, but there are very few facilities for older people.
So Elsdon convinced her local council government to invest about $70,000 on the new senior playground, which had begun popping up in many parts of Europe and even as far away as China. Bob LaVenture is with the British Heart Foundation. He says this is part of a growing trend of aging baby boomers who are hitting the gym after retirement.
There is clearly a growing market for older people who want to look after themselves. And the fitness industry, certainly they're beginning to tap in big time into, you know, what they call the mature mover market.
In the U.S., that mature mover market makes up nearly 30% of those who head to the gym on a regular basis. But Elsdon says the fitness industry does face one hurdle.
Older people find gyms really intimidating. It's all this firm flesh and everybody's too young and the equipment, you have to adjust everything and set all different settings. This is very simple. Just come in, use the equipment and carry on.
And she says playgrounds for seniors help retirees on fixed incomes who can't afford gym memberships. But be warned, Elsdon says no kids allowed here. As we talk, a six-year-old wanders in and climbs onto one of the machines.
I'm going to throw him off. Excuse me, young man, can you read? What does that mean?
Maybe, but she says older people won't use the equipment if they see children playing on it. And she hopes senior playgrounds like this become as common as jungle gyms are for the little ones. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Seven more states today formally join a lawsuit against the Obama administration's health care overhaul. That makes a total of 21 protesting a requirement that everyone buy health insurance. So can the government force us to buy something if we don't want it? Reporter Jill Barshay has more.
The new law requires virtually all Americans to carry health insurance by 2014. Robert Muse is an attorney at the Thomas More Law Center. The group has also filed suit. Muse says the government is allowed to regulate interstate commerce, but
that doesn't necessarily mean that the federal government can force people to engage in commerce, i.e. purchase things or engage in a commercial transaction.
It's rare that the federal government has ever made us buy stuff. Constitutional lawyer Ian Millhiser at the Center for American Progress had to go back to the Second Militia Act of 1792.
Which required a significant percentage of the U.S. civilian population to purchase guns and bayonets and other military equipment just in case they were ever called up for military service.
Millhiser says there's good reason for the new law, so that people don't wait until they're sick before they buy insurance, or else premiums for the rest of us will go up. I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
And finally, no word on whether there'll be another season of NBC's crime show Law and Order. Yeah, that one. The show's been on the air for two decades now, but ratings are down big time for Law and Order. NBC puts out its fall season Sunday. Some wonder whether Law and Order will continue to prosecute those offenders. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at marketplace.org. And I'm tweeting as well, Chiatakis MMR in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.